Okay, we're starting Maseches Damai, Nu Masechta, and a quick introduction. So, Damai is a rabbinic decree that requires, in the time of the Mishnah, when one purchases produce from someone who hasn't formally accepted upon himself to do the proper tithes that the various agricultural products require, that one must do a partial tithing out of doubt. More details of that in a moment. I'll explain it now. The backstory is the Gemara in Sota Memches Amar Aleph 48a talks about how at the beginning of the Bias Sheni period, Second Temple period, there was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, not to be confused with the Yochanan Kohen Gadol who, after 80 years, became a heretic at the end of the Hasmonean period. Rather, this is Yochanan Kohen Gadol who was the father of Matsyahu, the original patriarch of the Hasmonean dynasty. So he lived shortly after Shimon HaTzadik. In any case, Yochanan Kohen Gadol commissioned what we might call a sociological study to determine just how well the populace, the general populace, tithes their food before selling it to the general, you know, food supply. So what he discovered was that while most of the people, we'll call them Am HaAretz or Ami HaAretz, the regular people of the earth, salt of the earth, most of them did tithe things properly. However, a significant minority of the people didn't do all the tithes as they should. And because of that, ultimately the rabbinic requirement to treat produce purchased from someone who isn't certainly committed to tithing properly was instituted so that all food would be tithed before it was consumed. Now, the first tithe that goes up, there are actually a total of five different potential tithes that come out of the food that's produced in Eretz Yisrael. The first of those is called Truma Gedola, the large Truma, the major Truma, the primary Truma, and that's a gift given to the Kohanim. Technically, from the Torah, even one grain from an entire harvest could fulfill the requirements. However, rabbinically, you're supposed to give 1/60th of your crop, your harvest, to the Kohanim as Truma, Truma Gedola. So, to eat Truma Gedola is a crime on two levels. First, it's a Isser V'Hetzer crime. It's like not kosher, the food, so to speak. And eating Truma, actually, beside being not kosher, if you will, carries a very severe penalty of Misa Bidei Shemaim, literally death at the hands of heaven, which is premature death. And that, of course, is bad news. And since the Ami HaAretz knew this was the case, they certainly didn't want to kill their fellow Jews and poison them, and therefore they were reliable to take Truma Gedola. So Damai never is afraid that there's Truma Gedola in the food that's being sold by a Ami HaAretz. However, the next tithe is Miser, and that's 10% of what remains. That is to say, if a person had 100 gallons of wine from his crop, and he's now going to give the various tithes. So first, he would take 2% off and give that to the Kohen as Truma Gedola. He's left with 98 gallons, and he'll give 10% of that, meaning 9.8 gallons of what remains, to the Levium as Miser Rishon. Now, if he fails to do that, and an unsuspecting person purchases untithed food and consumes Miser Rishon, or just he consumes Miser Rishon that have been separated, so it's certainly a crime. However, it may be different than the crime of Truma. See, as I said before, Truma has two components. There's the Isser V'Hetzer component. It's forbidden to consume it because it's not kosher, so to speak, and carries that penalty of death to the hands of heaven. As far as Miser goes, the Miser Rishon, the gift to the Levi, so according to the Rambam, to eat that Miser carries with it the generic infraction of taking something that doesn't belong to you. It's like stealing. And therefore, it's essentially stealing from the Levium and has to be paid back. You have to compensate the Levium by returning the food that you ate of theirs. But the penalty for eating that Miser Rishon on purpose is, according to the Rambam, just generic Malkus lashes. Not Misa B'dei Shemaim, not death at the hands of heaven, so that's less severe. According to Rashi, it actually is also Misa B'dei Shemaim, just as severe to eat the Miser as it is to eat the Truma. In any case, from that Maaser Rishon that the Levi receives, he must take out another portion, another tithe from the Levi, and give that to the Kohen. That Levi's tithe is called Trumas Maaser, and it's a tenth of the tenth he received. So in our numbers before, if he received, the Levi received 9.8 gallons of wine, so then he would give a tenth of that, or 0.98 gallons of wine, back to the Kohen as Trumas Maaser. Now the Trumas Maaser carries all the same penalties as the Truma Gedola, that first tithe, meaning Misa B'dei Shemaim, premature death, according to everybody. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol's survey found out that while the Am HaAretz are very careful to remove Truma Gedola before selling their produce, many did not take out the Maaser Rishon, and therefore left in as well the Trumas Maaser, thinking that the Trumas Maaser isn't required to be taken, or isn't their problem to take it, until the Maaser Rishon was taken and given to Levi. And since they're not taking the Maaser Rishon, they assume that the Trumas Maaser is not a problem. However, it is a problem. And therefore, if a Am HaAretz took out the Truma Gedola, but not the Maaser, and therefore not the Trumas Maaser, that food, according to everybody, meaning according to both the Rambam and Rashi, carries with it the penalty of Misa B'dei Shemaim, and can't be eaten until it's tithed. And since a significant minority, not a majority, but a significant minority of the population didn't take out their Trumas Maaser before selling food on to the basic food supply, so then the rabbis felt that although Mida Oraisa, according to Torah law, it would be permissible to consume produce purchased from an Am HaAretz, because since the majority do tithe, you can rely on the majority, but since it's such a significant minority that didn't, the Bezin in the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol felt that it was improper to eat that without at least getting out the Trumas Maaser. Now, we said there are two separate problems when eating Truma Gedola and Trumas Maaser, which is both the Isser V'Heter problem, the fact that it's not kosher, so to speak, and carries with it that penalty of premature death, as well as the Mamonos problem, the financial problem of taking something that doesn't belong to you, that belongs to the Kohanim. When it comes to the Maaser Rishon, the issue is primarily taking from the Levium, but at least according to the Rambam, doesn't carry any other severe penalty of Misa B'dei Shemaim. And therefore, when the rabbis required Demai to be fixed up, their concern wasn't the consumption of the Maaser Rishon. They figured, listen, since the Maaser Rishon is probably not there, because most Amoratim do tithe properly. And even if it is, all it is essentially the real crime here, because mutter to eat, so you don't go to Isra Heter problem, it's mutter to eat. It's just that you're essentially stealing from the Levium. Well, that's the case, then the rule always is, if you're talking about a financial dispute, if you will, so then the rule is always Hamotzi Mechavero Lavaraya, the one who's trying to exact the property from the one who currently possesses it, he, the person trying to exact the property, had the burden of proof, and if he can prove it, then of course he can claim it. So the same would be here, that the purchaser of the demai would eat the Maaser Rishon without a problem, and in the event that a Levi could prove that the Maaser Rishon hadn't been taken from it, then of course he would have to reimburse the Levi by giving back his fair share. But the bigger problem is the Trumas Maaser embedded in the Maaser Rishon. That isn't just an issue of Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya, of taking something that doesn't belong, perhaps, to one, and in this case, that would be Truma, which belongs, Trumas Maaser, which belongs to the Kohanim. The problem would be the Misa B'dei Shemaim, and therefore, the rabbis required that when it comes to Demai, one must first, at least verbally, separate the Maaser, and then that's sufficient for declaring it Maaser without physically taking it, and then physically take out 10% of that Maaser and separate it as Trumas Maaser and give that to the Kohen. As far as now the other Maaser that remains behind, let's call it the 9%, it can be eaten with the other 90%, not a problem. And of course, like I said, Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya. So the first thing that one has to fix up with Demai is getting that Trumas Maaser out. Now, there is a potential second problem, which is, in certain years of the seven-year agricultural cycle, there's a second tithe called Maaser Sheni, and in certain years, there's an additional tithe called Maaser Ani. the way it works is that the 7-year agricultural cycle, the 7th year being Shemitah, has two mini 3-year cycles. So there's a 3-year cycle, then a 3-year cycle, then a 7th year of Shemitah where there are no tithes taken. So in the first 2 years of each mini cycle, meaning in years 1 and 2 and years 4 and 5, Miser Sheni is taken out after Miser Rishon, the second tithe that's taken out after the Miser Rishon, the first tithe that's supposed to go to the Levium. And in years 3 and 6, the 3rd year of each of those two mini cycles, it's Miser Ani, it's food that's separated to give to poor people, as we saw in the end of the previous Masechta in Peah, the 8th parak there. That's Miser Ani, a tithe for poor people. But the tithe for the poor people is similar to the tithe that goes to the Levium, meaning that it's a financial consideration primarily, and therefore Hamotzi Mechaver Levaraya, until the Aniyim can prove that this was not properly tithed, and the Maaser Ani is still embedded there, and one can eat it, and even if the Aniyim would prove it, all that would have to happen is financial compensation. But Maaser Sheni, which is supposed to be taken out in years 1, 2, and 4, and 5, if one purchases foodstuffs that potentially have Maaser Sheni in them, and they're Demai, so a person must get the Maaser Sheni out. That's because Maaser Sheni is forbidden to be eaten when one's tummy, and actually forbidden, more importantly, to be eaten outside of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, it's not that big a deal, because by all Maaser Sheni, not just by Demai, but Maaser Sheni in general, one can redeem the sanctity of the Maaser Sheni onto coins, and then take those coins to Jerusalem, and then use those coins to purchase foodstuffs in Jerusalem. So one can do that here as well with the Demai. He can set aside coins and say that if there is any Maaser Sheni in this produce, its sanctity should be removed from the food and put on the coins, and then put those coins with one's other Maaser Sheni coins and take them to Jerusalem next time he goes, let's say, for a Lila Regal. So with that, we could sort of sum up. In total, we have 5 potential tithes that could come out of food. Number 1, Truma Gedola, 2% that goes to the Kohen. Then Maaser Rishon, 10% that remains that goes to Levi. Then Trumas Maaser, the 10% of that 10%, in other words, what works out to 1%, which goes from the Levi's portion to the Kohen. And then Maaser Sheni in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, and Maaser Ani in years 3 and 6. For Demai, what we're concerned about is, number 1, the Trumas Maaser, the tithe that should come from the Maaser itself, because the Amoratzim weren't good about taking it out necessarily. And number 2, the Maaser Sheni, which would have to go to Jerusalem and therefore be redeemed on coins. We're not afraid of Truma Gedola because they were good about taking that out. We're not afraid about Maaser Rishon because Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, the burden of proof is on Levium to show that it has been taken and take their share from the Demai. And the same goes for Maaser Ani, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, until the Aniyim can prove it belongs to them, one may eat it. So there you have it. That is what Maseches Demai is dealing with. The requirements rabbinically to take these tithes of the Trumas Maaser and the Maaser Sheni out from suspicious produce, as well as what defines suspicious produce, as well as the leniencies that apply, because since Midoraisa it's mutter to eat Demai, and just rabbinically one can't. So in many instances there will be leniencies regarding the application of these halachas of this rabbinic requirement of Demai. Finally, we wrap up. The word Demai itself is of unclear origin. The most well-known explanation is Da-Mai, this, what is it, meaning what's its status, because it is of questionable status and therefore uncertain how it should be treated when one purchases food from an Amaharat and is uncertain whether it's been tithed properly. There are other pshatim as well. One, that it's related to the word Dema, a mixture, that's with an ayin, a forbidden mixture of Truma and Chulin. Another pshat is that it's like echad mimea, that's where it came from, because it's essentially 1/100th that is taken out of the Demai produce and set aside for Trumas Maaser, and the rest is all consumed, so echad mimea turns into Demai. Now, a last important point. The whole mitzvah derabbanan of Demai was instituted in the time of Baal Sheni, when most Amei Haaretz did tithe properly, and only a significant minority did not. And therefore, this is sort of, so to speak, better safe than sorry, if you will, rabbinically enacted. But in a time and place where the sociological setup is different, and people are more or less reliable, then different rules would apply. And certainly Bizman Hazen, in this day and age, it's not the case that the majority of farmers in Israel, where these halachas apply, do tithe properly, and therefore Tamai has no basic practical application today. Other rules would apply when one purchases foodstuffs here in Israel. And with that, we finish our introduction and we begin the first Mishnah.